Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for those that are coming in from Twitter. Hey, Twitter family. I know you guys are following me on Twitter, right? Twitter.com/Charvette. Check me out over there. Hello to all of those that are joining us from Facebook. Hey, Facebook family. Facebook.com/Charvette. You can just click on the follow button right over there. Hang out with us on Facebook. Hello to all of those that are listening in from our mobile app, from Charvette.com, from Instagram, and, of course, all of our broadcast stations. We say hello and thank you so much for joining us here for another phenomenal show. And I'm telling you what, we have two dynamic young ladies that are joining us today. So listen, we're going to be kicking the top of the hour out right here with Kristen Davis. She's an author, she's an illustrator, she's a songwriter, she's an educator, and we're going to be chatting about her newest children's book. Listen, she has 7 children's books published, so you know we got to hear all about it, and we're going to be chatting it up with her. And then in our second segment, we certainly don't want you to move because we have Tasha Marie Wilson joining us, and she is best known most recently for her book, Who Am I When Everything Is Silent? And then her newest release, brand spanking new release, Who Am I Under the Limelight? Who am I when I'm under the limelight? What is she going to be talking about? You got to hang around to find out. And she's the founder of Royalty Refined. So Tasha Wilson is coming up next. But listen, this is what I want you to do. Jump on Twitter, jump on Facebook, tell them what you're listening to, tell them, hey, come on over and check out the show. And as always, we love you guys so much. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right on in. Again, my first guest is hanging out in the virtual green room, bringing her up to the mic, Kristen J. Davis, an educator. She's been teaching since 1997. She's always been creative, and she always wanted to write children's books, and now she has 7 under her belt. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the mic right now, Kristen, welcome so much.
Hello, Charvette. Having me on your show, I'm excited. And hello to everyone out there in Radio Land.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We're glad we have an opportunity to chat with you. Certainly someone that has written 7 children's books does not let any grass grow under her feet. So I know you are a busy person. And I also need to mention absolutely that you are a motivational speaker as well. But
yes.
Certainly let's talk about your background in education. Talk a little bit about your love and your background for education.
Okay, well, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to high school here, a high school called Peabody High School, and I graduated in 1989. After I graduated high school, I decided that I wanted to pursue a career in education, and so I went on to the local community college, and I earned my associate's degree there. And then after I earned my associate's degree, I went on to earn my bachelor's degree and also my graduate degree from the University of Pittsburgh. I have a master's degree in the art of teaching.
Wow, the art of teaching. I like that.
Yes, thank you.
So you know your lane. You are one of those people, you know your lane is education.
Yes, I've always felt in my spirit, I think since I was maybe a little girl, that I wanted to be a teacher. For a short time, I kind of shied away from that, and I thought that I wanted to be a lawyer. But as time went on and I grew older and I got closer to graduating high school, I knew that I wanted to be a teacher in my heart because for some reason, children gravitate to me. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's the fact that I might look like a cartoon character to them. I'd have no idea. Uh-huh. But children always gravitate to me. And uh-huh. I've always really had a way with children. I have a fun, bubbly personality, and I like to have fun with kids. So I think that's one of the reasons why I decided that I wanted to pursue a career in education.
Wonderful. And so I love that your bio says that you always wanted to be a writer, always wanted to be an author. So some people just kind of
yes.
fall into it. So
yes.
talk a little bit about that first step you took to write that first children's book.
Well, you know what? It's really a funny story. I always wanted to write children's books, and I remember early on in my teaching career, I said to myself, I would love to publish children's books someday. But I was just speaking out loud, just talking. I didn't really think that it would ever happen or that it ever could happen. And then it was always a desire of mine, but I never really thought that it would come to fruition. But in 2008, I was asleep on my couch, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and the Lord told me, he spoke two words to me. He said, start writing. And I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. And
wow.
I said, okay, Lord, and I went back to sleep because it was the middle of the night. But sure enough, in 2008, I started to jot down ideas, and I jotted down titles, and I had thoughts in my mind of things that I wanted to write about. So I started to write those things down, and then sure enough, in 2013, I was able to have my first five books published from another person who I met in Cleveland, Ohio. So that was a blessing right there. And from then on, I went on to publish my two most recent books on my own. And it's a very exciting venture. I have to tell you, I'm learning lots of things that I never knew before. And it's really quite an adventure. So I'm excited, and I'm here for the ride. I'm buckled up.
All right. Buckled up and along for the ride. So tell us the titles of some of the other books you've written.
Well, the first five books that I published, they are called No Time for Dilly Dally, Pancake Moon, Kevin Seven, The Rhyming Man, Ladybug Friend, and What Is Your Name?
So you have very interesting titles. I like those. And are all of the books, tell us the kind of the vibe of the book.
Well, you
know,
we
might have a little bit of background if there's anyone hanging out with us and you have your radio turned up. Just turn that down for us, and we'll get rid of that background. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. All right. So tell us kind of the vibe of the book.
Well, all of the books that I wrote, they have rhyming words in them because I love to rhyme all the time. It is not a crime. So I love to rhyme, and I do that a lot with my students in school, and we just have fun with it. The children think it's funny. I think it's funny. You know, it just goes right with my personality. I have that type of fun, bubbly personality, like I said before. But all mm-hmm. of the books rhyme, and the reason why I wanted all of the books to rhyme is because rhyming is one of those critical components for early literacy. And when
yeah.
children are exposed yeah. to literature at an early age, and when they are exposed to books and letter sounds and rhyming words and phonemes and phonics and things of that nature, it helps them to become better readers. It helps them to learn how to read quicker because they've already been exposed to such. So all of my books rhyme. And not only do they rhyme, but at the end of all of my books, they have activity and learning pages that the children can work on. So I ask different things like comprehension questions. I ask them to write down all the words that rhyme in the book. I have them to create a different ending for the story. And all of these components go together to help children to really maximize their learning as far as reading. And even though I'm a math teacher right now, reading is always, to me, one of the main things that children really, really need to learn how to do at an early age, because if you can't read, you can't do math. And there's a lot of word problems and story problems in mathematics. So if you can't
wow.
read, you can't do math. So reading is close to my heart. It always will be, even if I never teach it again. It's always close to my heart.
All right. And,
and
it doesn't hurt to have that you are an illustrator. So how did you get into the illustration piece? But certainly, you know, children's books, you need to have a lot of great illustrations.
Well, you know what? That is so funny to me because I've never considered myself an illustrator. I'm not the type of person who has these great, wonderful artistic skills where I can just pull up a canvas and paint the world in 3 minutes and voila, it's a miracle. I don't have that type of skill. But for children's books, the illustrations that I do, they absolutely work because they're children. And children really don't perceive illustrations the way that adults would perceive them. So I just try to make pictures fun and colorful and funny and things of that nature. And they really work for children because I've also read the books to my students in my class, and they do approve of them. So if they approve, I think it's okay.
All right, you have an instant instant focus group right at your disposal. So
yes.
Let's talk about the newest book, Please Don't Pull the Fire Alarm. What's that about?
You know, I've got to tell you, Charvette, this is my all-time favorite book. And this book to me is so hilariously funny. It's about a little boy. His name is Frank, and he likes to pull pranks. And so one day on his way to school, he asked his older brother what would happen if he pulled the fire alarm at school. And his older brother told him, "Please don't pull the fire alarm, for it is not a toy. For if you pull the fire alarm, oh boy." Well, I've got to tell you, Frank did not listen to his older brother's advice. And when he pulled the fire alarm at school and the whole community, they were all in an uproar. So you have got to get the book and read it. It is hilarious.
It is, if you say so yourself, right? It is hilarious. And so is this good for a parent to read, get the book and read to the children at night?
Well, absolutely. I really believe that when children, I think that all children should have someone read a bedtime story to them at night, mom, dad, brother, grandma, grandpa, whoever. If anyone can read to children before they go to bed at night, I think that really helps them to really focus on things for the next day at school, actually. So I think it's a good idea for parents to read to children at night. And this is one book that I think parents would actually get a kick out of also because it has a slight adult humor to it. Even though it's a children's book, even when parents read it, they can pick up on the adult humor. And there's words in there that would make adults laugh. There's words in there that children may say, "Well, Mom, what does that word mean? Well, what does this word mean?" Because one of the words in the book is parched. And that's not a word that children typically say throughout their conversation, "I'm parched." But the parents know what it means, so that will bring up discussion about the book when the parents read it to the children, and that will allow the children to ask questions. It will allow the parents to respond, and it will just be a good conversation piece before the kids go to bed.
And there may be some adults who don't know what parched means, so you're helping us all out here. You're helping everyone
right
out. How can listeners get a hold of the new book and also go back, and check for the old books as well?
Well, you can find me at KristinJDavis.com, and that's KristinJDavis.com, and that is my online store where all of my books are available. And then you can also follow me at Twitter. I'm Kristin Davis at Cool Kitty Books 3. And then also on Facebook, you can find me under Kristin Davis. And again, my online store is KristinJDavis.com.
All right, there you go. Check it out and get what you need right over there. And I have connected on Facebook, and so I have tagged her on Facebook. So that's an easy connection point right there to get what you need and take care of that. All right, and so are the books sequels, prequels, or can you pick up anywhere and catch along?
Well, you know what? None of the books are sequels, but Frank Yost Burnt the Toast, that's one of my new ones, and then the other one, my new one, Please Don't Pull the Fire Alarm. They both feature the same character. The little boy in Please Don't Pull the Fire Alarm, his name is Frank, and also Frank Yost Burnt the Toast. So it's actually the same character, these two new books, but the other books are not sequels. But I was just thinking, it's so funny that you said that, I was just thinking the other day that I kind of want to bring a sequel to the Ladybug Friend book, because the Ladybug Friend book is a fun book about a little girl and a ladybug who go on and have an adventure at the zoo, and I just want to see their friendship continue, and I think children would really get a kick out of that. And then I also want to bring a sequel to one of my old books, No Time for Dilly Dally, because that book focuses on the main character. He's a yak, and his name is Willy Wally, and his friend, he calls her his pally, Gertie. Gertie is his friend, and she's the one who comes to hang out with him, and they go out to play together. But I want to bring a sequel to that, and I think I want Gertie to be the main character. So stay tuned. Right. We'll have to see what happens.
All right. More to come. More to come. So there you have it. And so let's talk about your motivational speaking, you know, side. How did you get into motivational speaking?
Well, that's actually another funny story. I am actually, in addition to being an author, an illustrator, and a songwriter, I am also an evangelist. And never in a million years would I ever have thought that I would be serving in ministry. But back in 2009, the Lord called me into ministry to be an evangelist, to preach his word and teach his word. So ever since then, I've been doing that through a ministry, and I'm just so excited. It is just wonderful. It brings such joy to my soul, and it's just the love of my heart. It really is. So I love to do ministry, and I've had several speaking engagements, and I've evangelized in different places, and I also serve with a ministry. So it is wonderful. I'm really excited about the future.
And do you see, the books going hand in hand with ministry, evangelism, speaking? Do you feel like they work together?
Well, you know what? My children's book, Please Don't Pull the Fire Alarm, it does have some pages in there where, and I don't want to give away too much of the book, but there are some pages in there where Frank, after he pulled the fire alarm, he had to say a prayer. So I think it does tie in somewhat. Yes,
because I'm
it does.
Sure that there are lessons, there are life lessons or things that you want to get across in the book that, you know, transcend children, you know, and also transcend to adults as well.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, one of the lessons that's so funny in the Please Don't Pull the Fire Alarm book is the fact that even though it's a funny book, and after he pulled the fire alarm at school and everything went awry, the moral of the story is don't pull the fire alarm at school. We don't want children pulling the fire alarm. I didn't write that book so that all the kids go to school and pull the fire alarm, and then all us teachers are crazy, the principal's crazy, and the whole school's crazy. So I didn't write it for that purpose. But it's a funny story, and I think that children will get the idea, hey, don't pull the fire alarm at school, buddy.
Don't do it. From an educator, don't do it. Do you see yourself writing for adults, writing any other kind of genres?
I do have a couple other adult books that are already written. I wrote those a couple of years ago, but the Lord has not released me to publish those yet, so I'm going to wait for his timing, because I know that his plans are not my plans and his thoughts are not my thoughts. So I'm going to wait until the Lord gives me the green light to release those other stories, and I'll just look forward to the day, because I have a lot to share, lots of information.
You know, you bring up an amazing point, because sometimes, don't you think that we receive, you know, a download from heaven, or we, you know, receive a nudging or something, a gifting or something, and we're like, okay, I got this, I'm going to run out and do it. But how important is timing really in all of our lives? How important is timing?
Well, you know what? Timing is very important, because we were created to worship God, and we were created to live for him. So when it comes to living your life, we have to do, in essence, and even though this is not the way all of the world lives, but in essence, we have to do what he wants us to do. And the way that I live my life is I allow the Lord to take control, and I watch him work, and he does wonderful, marvelous things, things that I can't do, things that I'm not smart enough to do, things that I'm not wise enough to do. So I always make sure that I allow the Lord to take the green light in my life. He leads, and I follow. So wherever he leads, that's where I'm going to go. And I've seen it time and time again. The Lord does things, and he does things in excellence, and he does things perfectly and in order. So that's the reason why I always let the Lord lead me. And then I know that when he wants something to happen, when he wants to bring something to fruition, he can do it with the snap of a finger, and I don't have to lift my hands or lift my feet. I just let him work, and I sit back and I say, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Let him work, because he can work it out better than we can. He can work it out better than we can. And, you know, so then you have the opposite side of the fence. So you have those that are gung-ho, ready to just roll and don't think about the timing. Then you have those who have that same kind of unction, and it's time, and they won't put their foot on the gas. It's like, it's time to write that book. It's time to put that CD, you know, project out. It's time to do whatever, but they won't put their foot on the gas. What do you say to that person?
Well, you know what? I say, don't let the grass grow under your feet. If you have a desire in your heart, something that you've always longed to do, I would suggest to first pray about it. And if it is the Lord's will, he will bring that thing to pass in your life, and he will open doors for you that no man can close. He will close doors for you that no man can open. But I would say, go for it. I would hate to feel like I died and I didn't accomplish everything that I had in my heart to do, and I would hate to feel like I died or left this world and I didn't do everything that the Lord would have me to do. So if you have a desire in your heart and you feel strongly about something that you want to do, again, pray about it and let the Lord work it out and go for it, because if the Lord is in it, there is nothing anyone can do about it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I second that. And I got to put a plug in and a shout out right here. So shout out to Claudia Santiago, who is hanging out in the virtual, in the chat room. She's hanging out in the chat room. And I just had a great honor and privilege to be on her live show on Blab. And we were just talking about three myths about being an entrepreneur. And this is a blog post written by Mitch Jackson. But one of the things that he talks about is it's okay to fail. And so we were saying, you know, a lot of times that person that won't put their foot on the gas, that won't go, is because of that fear of failure. But it's like, it's okay if it's not all together right from the onslaught. You know, you correct as you go. This thing will teach you what you need to know as you go. So, yeah, just wanted to throw that out. So, hey, Claudia, thanks for hanging out with us here. All right. So who do you have, a support team? Do you have people that really have helped you along the way with, you know, all of these books that you've written and those that are published and not published? Do you have, you know, a team that helps you or resources that you go to that you would say, hey, if you're an aspiring author, you know, these are the types of resources I use that help me?
Well, I can't say that I have any authors who I've leaned on for advice or anything like that or for help, but I can say that my mom has always been my biggest supporter. She is behind me 100%. She helps me. She even, when I go to ministry conferences, she peddles my wares. She peddles my wares. And so my mom has always been my biggest supporter, and I'm just very thankful to have her in my corner, and it's just an awesome, awesome privilege to have her for a mother. Her name is Gloria Davis. Shout out to my mom.
Hey, Miss Gloria, and shout out to my mom, too. I echo that. She's a strongest supporter. Shout out to my sister who's hanging out listening. She listens to all my shows. So family certainly is important, and that's what matters. Awesome. All right, so one more time, let listeners know how they can pick up a copy of any and all of your published books.
All of my published books are on my website, my online store, and you can reach me at KristinJDavis.com. That's KristinJDavis.com.
All right. And I've tagged in Facebook and Twitter as well. So those are great connection points, facebook.com/Charvette, twitter.com/Charvette. Of course, you can run over to charvette.com if you're not hanging out there. We've got a great blog post about all of our guests today, and certainly you can check in and check out any of our past and upcoming shows that are coming down the pike. All right, so my last question for you. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
You know what? The thing that continues to motivate me, I have to say, is the Holy Spirit. He really motivates me to be a better person and just to do what I can to help people and just be about His business. So the Holy Spirit is my motivator, and I'm just so excited. It's my best friend. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Doesn't lead us astray, takes us down the right path. All the time, every time. All right. Well, it has been great, again, featuring you here on the show, and we just wish you much more continued success for all of your books. These are, you know, great for parents to be thinking ahead during those summer months when you don't want your child's brain to kind of get stale, but you want them to be reading, you know, throughout the summer. So grab them, pick them up. Are they available, paperback, hardback? What are all the formats the books are available in?
Yes, they are available on paperback and also on Kindle, and they're also available on Amazon.com. So if you go to my author's page, you'll be able to see all of my books on Amazon. So I have the Kindle edition and also paperback version on Amazon as well.
All right, phenomenal. Well, it has been amazing having you here on the show, and we thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, I thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for listening to my story.
Absolutely. All right, absolutely. All right, listeners, we are moving into our second segment. We're excited. We're going to a quick commercial break. We're going to be back with Tasha Marie Wilson coming back. I'm telling you what, you want to stick around. She has a book out, Who Am I When Everything Is Silent? But listen, we're going to hear about the latest book, Who Am I When I'm Under the Limelight. You got to stick around to hear all about it. She's the founder of Royalty Refined. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.letiboyd.com.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123jobzone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out mitchell-productions.com or find them at facebook.com/mitchellproductions.
Introducing contemporary gospel artist Deyami with the new hit debut single titled The Blood on Remare Records.
Oh, they slay me, crucify me. I have been washed in your blood, I'm reading.
Purchase Deyami's new hit single on iTunes, Amazon, in February. Once again, be sure to check out contemporary gospel artist Deani with the new hit debut single title, The Blood, on Remare Records. Follow Deani on Twitter, Facebook, by going online to DeaniMusic.com. That spells DeaniMusic.com. That's DeaniMusic.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all the World Wide Web. We say hello to all of those that are checking out the show, hanging out with us here, those that are on the phone lines waving virtually. Hello, those hanging out with us in the chat room. We say hello, those that are coming in from Twitter and Facebook and all those great, great, great places. Thank you for checking us out here. So we're moving right on schedule, right into our next segment. I'm excited to have a dynamic young lady joining me, Tasha Marie Wilson. I know she's saying, why is she saying my middle name like that? My best friend's middle name is Marie, Joyce Marie Jackson Sawyer. Hey, girl. Anyway, I just like saying that. But she's an author, she's an entrepreneur, a motivational speaker, and she is on a relentless pursuit for God and showing love. And so she has a best-selling book out already, Who Am I When Everything Is Silent? And her latest book, we're going to be chatting about, Who Am I When I'm Under the Limelight? Oh, my goodness. She's also the founder of a movement called Royalty Refined, and she's devoted to helping young women really discover and affirm the treasure that is already, you know, within them. So we're excited to have Tasha joining us today. She's been hanging out in the virtual green room, and I'm bringing her up to the mic right now. Lines open. Hello, Tasha. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part.
Oh, you are welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. All right, so let's jump right on in. Certainly would love to hear, you know, how you even started writing.
Okay, well, when I was 16 years old, my father had passed away suddenly. And in high school, my guidance counselor, she suggested that I be a part of this group called a grief group. And me writing was my outlet on how to express my feelings, my thoughts, my emotions, because I just felt like if I expressed it verbally, nobody would really understand. So it was writing on where I felt my peace and my healing, and from then on, it just skyrocketed from there.
Wonderful. And I hear a lot of people say when they write, they feel that it is therapeutic. It's like a therapeutic release. And then sometimes
yes,
you've written stuff and you'll go back and look and say, wow, I wrote that? When did I write that?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the first book I want to just chat about to set it up for the listeners, Who Am I When Everything Is Silent? Now, that title is wonderful. What is that book about?
That book is definitely about a lot of defining moments that I've had in my life that I kind of had guarded. I felt like it was sacred, but it was more so me being embarrassed on sharing certain things that I've experienced throughout my life. It was those moments that were like, would anyone believe me if I shared it? Or maybe if I keep it a secret, then, you know, I've actually healed through it, when in essence, I really didn't. Because once I wrote about it, I never really addressed the process of really dealing with the things that I wrote about. So with that book, it's something that's really near and dear to my heart about certain moments in my life that I once was afraid to really share with anybody else. But I can't really help someone if I'm not willing to help myself. So the title, it came from me feeling like I no longer had a voice in the world. Mm-hmm. I was too busy being busy, but I wasn't really being productive. You know how it is when you just juggle a lot of things on your plate, thinking if I keep myself involved with other things, then I won't have to really face the reality of the stuff that I'm dealing with.
Wow. And so then when it's silent, and that business is gone, and the stuff is gone, and all everything is gone. Who are you really?
Right. And that's something
and,
that,
yeah.
you know, we don't like to deal with. It's like looking at your own reflection and really looking at the things that you may like about yourself and the things that you may not like about yourself.
And that's a scary place for some. And that's a raw, you know, a raw place. And so then I think that's why a lot of times people will continue just to have, a lot going on. So they don't have to feel that silence.
Right.
So I think that, you know, that could be the case. But what's the, what happens if you stay in that place of not wanting to kind of sit in the silence and get to know yourself? What's the detriment of that?
The detriment of that is that if you never really face yourself, you really don't know what you're capable of. And it has to be in the moment where you're willing to find yourself in order to really know what your purpose is in life. A lot of things that I felt like, you know, I've only dealt with it by myself, by me releasing it and really letting it go, I found out that there were other people who dealt with similar situations. And they finally found the courage and strength to speak up about it because of the boldness that I did with putting it in a book.
Yeah. And that is so true. It's when you're going through things, you think that nobody else is dealing with this like me or nobody else has experienced this. But absolutely, I applaud you for having, you know, that brave, tough skin to share and so that you can you've opened up the conversation for others to say, yeah, that I can relate and I can connect. What are things that people – and I'm still – listen, we're still on the first book. We get into the second one, but the first one was too good. I couldn't just run over that. Who am I when everything is silent? So what did readers say? Did you get any responses from readers that you could, you can remember?
Some people said that, you know, they appreciate the vulnerability that I put out there. There was a lot of things that they didn't know about me. They kind of looked at me as if I had it all together. So for them to actually see the realness of who I truly am, they really appreciated that. Others said that they loved how I just felt so free to express myself. It reminded them of how great God is and how nothing is impossible for him to handle. The moments where you're broken, he can really build something beautiful from it if you allow him to. And others said that, you know, they admired my courage, my transparency, and they just said, you know, once you start reading, you can't stop. You know, it's certain things that were so unexpected, but it really kept them intrigued with understanding life through my perspective.
All right. I love that. And listeners, hey, you can jump over to Amazon.com and see live reviews, all five-star reviews from those that have purchased the book, and they are echoing exactly what Tasha just said. So check that out there. And so I know it's on Amazon. Is it available anywhere else, that first book, Who Am I When Everything Is Silent?
Yeah, the first book is available just on Amazon, in Kindle edition or paperback.
All right, there you go. So now we transition to the second book, the latest book, Who Am I When I'm Under the Limelight? So this is a shift. So talk about the transition between the two books.
Oh, my goodness. It definitely was something that developed so quickly. I wasn't even ready for it.
Wow.
coming from a place of being silent to now being, like, on public display, I've always been known to be the shy, timid young girl. It was to the point that I have an older brother, so when we were growing up, he would always just say how I felt. Like, he would just know because I was just too afraid to speak up or, you know, just afraid to interact with people publicly. So after that, I got tired of that. You know, I had to learn how to speak up for myself and deal with certain things on my own. So after shying away from the public and actually kind of throwing myself into the public was a major milestone for me. Once I put myself out there as an author from the first book, every thought, every idea, every action was under a human microscope. Everyone was watching me. And at first, it was kind of uncomfortable, because it's like people are watching your every move, literally. Even when you think they're not watching, they're watching. And so that's where the whole limelight part came from. It's like being in a position of observation, public attention, you know. And so sometimes that can be a scary place, especially when you're used to doing things behind the scenes. You know, people will gravitate to you like a sponge, you know, whether they're good or whether they're bad. You have to have that discernment to really know who's for you and who's not. So once you're put in that public position and being under that limelight, you really have to be on your A game to really know who's really for me and who isn't.
And did that really stem from you releasing the first book? Were there other things going on? Okay, so it was all because you came because it was a bestseller. So all of this came about. Isn't that how – that is how life is, really. Everything is a stepping stone, you know, a breadcrumb, I call it, to the next level. So what if you'd never released that first book? Then you wouldn't have these experiences, you know?
Right, right, exactly. And I always think about that every day. Like, what if I – withheld my purpose? What if I continued to linger and say, God, I'm not ready. No, not yet. Or are you sure? Just keep questioning. Then the relationships that I did develop would have never occurred because of my disobedience.
Right. My goodness. And so let's talk about how the book is set up. Who am I when I'm under the limelight? So the chapters, you know, open up opening act and benchmark and entanglement and intermission. And, I mean, it's full of chapters, cheerleader versus coach. So I'm going to just pick a couple chapters and have you just give us, like, the cliff notes just to whet the appetite of the listeners that are hanging out with us. So entanglement. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What? Tell us what that chapter is covering.
Okay, so with entanglement, one thing about me is that I am the type of writer that I write in the moment. Whatever I'm feeling at the moment, whatever I'm experiencing at the moment, I write my heart on the paper. You know how some people say that they often wear their heart on their sleeve? My heart literally transfers from the pen to the paper. So in that moment, when I wrote entanglement, I had actually got out of a rocky relationship, and I didn't realize how rocky it was until after I got out of it. It's one of those moments where it's like, okay, you think that you're in the best situation, but then you really don't understand what the best is until you really understand who you are. So being in that moment, I'm like, you know, this is the person, you know, I'm supposed to be with, and, you know, trying to force something to work that wasn't meant to be. You know, and then finally getting to that point of accepting that.
Entanglement. I would pick that one, talking about relationships, as the first one. But you know what? That's how life is. And I think women, we have a lot of females and ladies that listen to my show. And so I think we all can relate. I think every last one, if you are dating age through 80 or 90, can relate to having a relationship and being entangled in some kind of way with a relationship. So, okay, cool. Cheerleader versus coach. What's that chapter about?
That's actually one of my favorites.
See, I'm good.
I know. It's so hard to choose, but that's absolutely one of my favorites. And that's one that a lot of people comment on, like, whoa, like I've been there. Cheerleader versus coach is basically about the whole view of friendship and how friendship should not be one-sided. Again, I was in a lot of friendships, or so I thought, where I felt like I was being more of the giver instead of receiving things on my end. And I'm like, okay, something just doesn't align here. Like, when I'm in a good place, you know, that's where you find a lot of people in your corner, and they're, like, cheering you on, and they're like, yeah, you know, go for it. Go, team, go. And see, I used to be a cheerleading coach, so I know that, you know, the responsibility of a cheerleader is to sit up there and motivate the team to win. You know, where all the screaming and pandemonium and the crowd just goes on and on when they see that you're making those points and, you know, sit up there and you go ahead with the winning shot. But it's when you're at that low place who's really going to encourage me there? And see, the coach, the job of the coach is whether you're losing or you feel like you're losing or you're winning, the coach is going to be there no matter what. The coach is going to support you in your high moment, and the coach is going to be there when you feel like you're at your low point and help bring you back up to the high moment where you need to be.
That will preach right there. That will preach right there. Yes. And so we all need, and we all need cheerleaders sometimes, and we all need to be cheerleaders sometimes, but then we all need coaches, and we all need to be coaches. Listen, we have some shout-outs, people that are listening in, typing on Facebook. I'm listening. Big shout-out to Kim Larkin. Hey, thanks for listening. Big shout-out to Tamika Hall. Said, I'm listening. Thank you so much for listening in. S. Raven Storm, thank you for listening. She said, I will be picking up book two. The breakdown was intriguing. Oh, so there you
go.
Thank you so much, Raven, for listening and hanging out in the chat. She's in the chat room, too. All right. So let's see. Let me see what other chapters. Nick of Time. Huh. Tell us about that chapter, Nick of Time.
Okay, so Nick of Time, that came from a moment in my life where it's like we try to rationalize with God, and it's like, you know, God is telling you to do one thing, and, you know, you go back to the questioning, which goes hand in hand with, do you really trust him? And so it's like, all right, God, you're telling me to do something, but you're too busy trying to navigate your own way that you're kind of counting out what he's saying. So, you know how sometimes you think, well, things look good so far, and the way I've been doing it has been working so far, so why do I need to stop and go another direction because you're telling me to do it? Or sometimes we just get so caught up in what we're doing that we miss what he's saying. We don't even hear him, and he has to keep repeating himself and showing himself in different ways in order for us to get it. And a lot of times it's that grace that snatches us up in the nick of time before we go too far off the lane that he's trying to keep us to stay in. And so that's where Nick of Time came in, because it's like I look at the relationship between a parent and a child. You know, how many times has it been when our parents have told us to do something like as simple as clean up your room, and you try to negotiate or you try to bargain with them? You know, that's how we treat God sometimes. It's just kind of like, well, I do a little bit of what you said, but I'm not going to do all of it yet because, you know, I'm not ready, or I think that if I do just enough, that'll be suffice.
Yeah. Ooh, and I don't know who Nick is and how that term came along, but I know I've definitely had moments in life where I was like, ooh, God, you got me out of that in the nick of time. Again, I don't know who Nick is, but you got me out in the nick of time. And all of these chapters, you know, written, you know, under the premise of, you know, who am I when I'm under the limelight, when the spotlight is on me? And there are so many people, Tasha, that are aching and yearning to be center stage, and are driven to be in the spotlight, you know, whatever format, you know, that is and that comes in. But so I take it that your book is just kind of cautioning, just maybe a pause, just giving them a pause for some things to think about. Is that a good assessment?
Yes. Yes, that's very good.
Yeah. Okay, there's another chapter, Lost in a Dream. Tell us a little bit about what that chapter deals with.
Lost in a Dream, I am a daydreamer, so a lot of times I could be sitting in an area and not really know what's going on around me because I'm caught up in my personal headspace. And a lot of times I think about what my future is going to look like, especially, like, for the man that God has for me. I really appreciate the relationship I have with my mother, because one thing about her is that she's never tried to force me into marriage or anything like that. She's always like, you know, take your time. You know, the one that's meant for you will come, and you'll know it. You won't have to question. You won't have pause or hesitation. You'll have this peace that is just so deep within that you'll know. And so I think about that all the time, and I'm like, you know what, God? I'm like, it took me a while to get to the place of really loving who I am and really appreciating and valuing who I am, but I know that the God that you have for me is going to be so special that he's not going to take away the relationship that you and I have. And so with Lost in a Dream, I just sit there on what that love will look like with the guy that God has for me.
Oh, that is Awesome, awesome, awesome. And there's a quote on your page, I think, that kind of just ties in, you know, ties into that on your public page on Facebook. And listeners that are hanging out on Facebook, it's Tasha W., her public page. Go over there and click like. I've tagged her. But her cover image says, "Rise up and affirm the treasure that's within. Embrace your greatness. You're a keeper." And so I think, that message you're trying to get across to young girls, to women, is that, mm-hmm. Who your target is?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Right. It's like once you know that treasure that's inside of you, you won't compromise yourself for anything.
All right, which really segues into us talking about your movement. You didn't call it an organization. You didn't call it, a little clicker club, but you founded a movement called Royalty Refined. So tell in your own words, tell us about Royalty Refined.
Royalty Refined, okay. I always knew that my heart always tugged for young women who are like moving through life just aimlessly. Like they don't really know who they are. They really didn't have anybody in their life to affirm who they are, And I just always had a heart for that because I know how it is, to walk around with this mask on and smiling on the outside but broken on the inside. And, when your parents tell you that you're beautiful, it's kind of expected because it's like, you're my parents. You're supposed to tell me that. But when mm-hmm. you really see the essence of the beauty within yourself, nothing or no one can take that away from you. And it's like, people can say some harsh things and people can make you feel bad about the decisions that you've made in life. But with Royalty Refined, a movement, something that is long lasting, that once that seed is planted to let you know that you are beautiful, that you are valuable, you are priceless, and you're going to make an impact in the world, it's up to you to continue to water that seed throughout the duration of your life and then pass it on to somebody else who may have been you at that age. It's something that's going to be continuous. It's something that we want women to recognize all across the board. If you have to speak life into yourself in the mirror with words of affirmation, that's something that I do around my mirror every day. Even when I feel like, okay, I'm having a rough moment, I change my thinking and say, you know what? No, I'm not having a rough moment. Why? Because I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to have a great day. Why? Because I declare it and I decree it. We have to learn how to speak life into ourselves because whatever you speak and whatever you give your attention to, that's what will grow. So if you keep speaking negative and you keep viewing yourself in a negative manner, that's all you're going to think about. So the movement is something that lets you know, as a woman, you have purpose. Change starts
yes.
within you and for you. Invest in yourself as if your life depends on it because it does.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And with Royalty Refined, you all offer small group sessions and professional development workshops and social events. What age bracket are you really honed in on?
We really hone in on ninth grade, so like 14 on up, because a lot of times I know for me that was a rough transition personally because, middle school was kind of like the age where it's like, okay, we're kind of friends with everybody type thing, or
mm-hmm.
we don't really worry about the whole clique. But it's like ninth grade when you're really starting to realize, okay, I'm changing. My body is changing. My looks are changing. My attitude about life is changing. And that's when you really get to grips on what your future is going to look like. So we snatch you right on up at ninth grade and say, okay,
yes.
let's start thinking about what it is that you want to do. What is it that you want to change in what's around you? How are you going to do that? How are you going to get there? What can we do to help you with that?
And your motto is for Royalty Refined, change starts with you. And for you, invest in yourself as if your life depends on it, which you just mentioned. Okay, so definitely honing in on that change, which I think is empowering, I think, for that age bracket and really all women to have
yeah.
that, that empowerment there. So where are you located? Because I know there are people listening saying, oh, my daughter, I want to connect my daughter with this. Where are you?
Okay, I am located in Eastern Maryland, but a lot of the team members, we're all widespread. like Samantha Burnett, she's the branding assistant. She's in Silver Spring. Then we have Samantha Bilzamy, she's in Bear, Delaware. Then we have Kimberly, she's in Norwalk, Connecticut. And then we have Shania Walker, who is in D.C. So we're widespread, but we always come together where we travel and do what it needs to do to get our goal accomplished.
Okay. And how can people find out about more about Royalty Refined, the movement, on Facebook and all that good stuff, on the web and all that good stuff?
Yes. Okay. So to find out more about Royalty Refined, we are on Facebook. Under our page, it's called Royalty Refined. We're also on Instagram with the same name, Royalty Refined. We're also on Twitter, underscore Royalty Refined. And you can also reach us by email at royaltyrefined@gmail.com.
And you have T-shirts that are really cool, too. I like the T-shirts.
Yes. I am a T-shirt person. I love getting T-shirts that have designs, phrases. You know, I'm big on words. Like, if it means something, I'm all for it. And so... I visualize a lot of things. Like, my friends laugh at me because sometimes I'll sit there and I have, like, an aha moment. Like, oh, my gosh, that would be so cool if we had this or if we done that. And they're like, here she go again with her ideas. And
the visionaries.
So with image that is presented, I'd actually met this young lady named Alyssa Banks, and we have a mutual friend. And I told her, I said, this is a vision that I have for a shirt. I said, I want something that is simple yet complex. I said, as women, we're multifaceted. I said, so I don't want the face to look distinct like someone else. I said, but what I want is words to surround her face because in the shape of her hair, because as women, you know, our hair is our glory. So why not speak life into what is considered your glory? So that's why I intentionally picked words like courageous, victorious, blessed, priceless. Ultimately, owning up to what conquers it all is that I am royalty refined.
All right. I love it. And you can see, listeners, you can see the actual T-shirt if you're hanging out on Royalty Refined Movement Facebook page. And how can people purchase it?
I have a link on my website, www.sashaw.net, where they can click the Shop Now button to go ahead and reserve their shirt, and it will come within a week. And the shirts are $12.
$12. Y'all can't beat that with a stick. So pick it up, support, support. Can't beat that with a stick, not at all. I am telling you what. So, listeners, I know you're like, oh, my goodness, this has been such a great segment. Yes, we've been hanging out here, chatted up with Tasha Marie Wilson. I like to say Marie, but Tasha Wilson, and I tag Tasha W. on Facebook. Again, pick up your copy of the book, of both books. We just finished up talking about Who Am I When I'm Under the Limelight. Listen, Amazon, I love going to Amazon because they have the reviews, and there's a review from a reader who said, this is the best book I have read in a very long time. It spoke to several aspects of my life, and I saw my life on each page. So grab it. Great. We're going into the springtime. You can have a book and you can be reading. We always bring you phenomenal authors here on the show. So you know how we do it. All right. So, Tasha, my last question for you. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we want to know what continues to motivate you.
What continues to motivate me is that I'm always true to myself. Like, at the end of the day, there is no one like me. And I can't force myself to be somebody that I'm not. The way that God has designed me was intentional. It's purpose behind it. So I embrace it. And that's what keeps me motivated throughout the day. I don't apologize for who I am. I don't question on why I was made the way that I was, because I know that it was all for my greater good.
Yeah. For the greater good. What a great perspective. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today. Both of our guests, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's see here. Yes, and so in the chat room, S. Ravenstorm says, you were born an original. Why die a copy? Amen.
Yes.
We are in agreement on that. All right. So thank you so much for hanging out with us, Tasha, and we wish you much continued success for you, your movement, your books, and all of that good stuff.
Thank you so much.
All right, you are welcome. All right, listeners, guess what? That's going to be a wrap for today. As always, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Download my free mobile app. Just go to your app store and look for Charvette. You can pick us up in iTunes, free podcasts in iTunes, of course, charvette.com, and all of our broadcast stations. We thank you so much for providing this show to all of the listeners worldwide. And thank you for all those that listened live and those that will listen to the podcast.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.